This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Worldwide Dominican Order remembers a landmark anniversary. The preaching of a homily that condemned social injustice and upheld the human rights of all indigenous people to live freely and with dignity. The year was 1511. The place, the island nation of Hispaniola, now modern-day Haiti. When it was discovered by Christopher Columbus in 1492, Hispaniola was inhabited by Taino Amerindians. But the Spanish conquistadores who took over the island had virtually annihilated them within 25 years. The first Dominicans arrived in 1510 to care for the Spanish settlers, but soon became aware of the atrocious injustices being committed against the native population. So the small Dominican community together prepared the Advent homily and chose their most powerful orator, Friar Antonio Montesinos, to read it out to the mostly Spanish congregation. And it was to be a homily like no other.
You are all in mortal sin. You live in it, and you die in it. Why? Because of the cruelty and tyranny you use on these innocent people. Tell me, by what right or justice do you keep these Indians in such cruel and horrible servitude? By what authority have you declared such detestable wars on this people, who were living calmly and peacefully on their lands? Where you have allowed an infinite number of them to be consumed in their sickness, resulting in death and destruction never heard of before. Through the excessive work you demand of them, they fall ill and die. Or rather, you kill them with your desire to extract and acquire gold every day. And what do you care of the person who instructs them in the faith, and that they know their God and Creator, are baptized, attend Mass, keep holy days and Sundays? Are these not men? Have they not rational souls? Are you not bound to love them as you love yourselves? Do you not understand this? This do you not feel? Are you in such a profound sleep that you are lethargic? Know this for certain. Given the state you are in, you cannot be saved.
The sermon was important for at least a couple of reasons in terms of the Dominican remembrance.
Sister Toni Harris is justice and peace promoter for the Dominican Sisters International here in Rome. She says that the Hispaniola sermon remains one of the most powerful expressions of the Dominicans' ongoing commitment to serving justice and peace throughout the world.
First of all, it seems to be the first sermon preached on behalf of human rights in the Western Hemisphere. The rights of the indigenous people were being violated in a horrific manner, and the Dominicans basically used the pulpit to denounce this kind of treatment of the indigenous people. So it's very important to Dominicans in connection with human rights and publicly denouncing human rights. The other part of the reality of this sermon that's very important for Dominicans is the fact that it was not a single person's idea. It was not some outraged, radical, individual Dominican, but all of the Dominican friars who were on the island at that time. And there may have been as many as 15 who had come to the island in a few different trips in the previous year, the first group of four having arrived in 1510, and this was preached in 1511. But they prepared the sermon together, and they all signed the sermon, the written sermon that Montesinos proclaimed. So the tradition of community preaching, of preparing an announcement of the Word of God by a community, is another very important part of the remembering for Dominicans. And Montesinos may have been selected maybe because he was the best preacher, maybe he had the loudest voice. They would have had to shout this sermon to the crowd from the little church in which they were gathered. But Montesinos preached a sermon on behalf of all of them.
Was this homily of his, or of the communities, was it considered outrageous for that time?
He was preaching to the Spanish settlers, many conquistadors who were there at the time. There were also some people in the audience, for example, Bartolome de las Casas, who was a priest, a diocesan priest, I guess we'd call him and today, who was in the audience, who was later really converted in terms of his position by the Dominicans and became a Dominican, and who became even more famous as a defender of the indigenous people. But in the audience, there were the people who were Catholics. When the Dominicans came, they thought they were coming to provide pastoral services to the Spanish, who had already arrived, and to evangelize the natives. And when they got there, it was the Dominicans who were converted by the experience, by the what they observed in terms of what was happening to the indigenous people.
And what was happening?
Well, the indigenous people were enslaved, basically. They were treated as slaves. They were made to work in terrible conditions until they died, really. There was a search for gold. There was probably other kind of work on the island, but they were made to work until they died. They were tortured. They were forcibly converted. There are, you know, very, what can I say? I guess the word is horrific, descriptions of being burned alive, being having their hands cut off if they didn't bring back, you know, what they were supposed to bring back after exploring. So, I mean, the description of what happened to them is terrible.
So this was a real landmark homily. How did the Spanish settlers react to that?
Well, it changed the lives of some, but I'm not sure how many lives it changed. Some changed their ways because of the preaching, and actually the announcement that the Dominicans would refuse to grant absolution in the Sacrament of Reconciliation, as we call it now, the Sacrament of Penance, if people were still holding on to their slaves, which was a pretty threatening kind of announcement for people who were concerned about traveling back and forth to Spain. And in terms of what happened immediately following this sermon, what we're told is that the governor, the current governor of the island on behalf of the Spanish government, was Diego Colón, who would have been the son of Cristobal Colón, whom we call Christopher Columbus. But the son of Columbus was in a governing position on the island. And after the sermon, he went to the house where the Dominicans lived and asked to see the friar. The prior was also a very significant Dominican leader, Pedro de Cordoba, who answered the door, and this outraged governor, Diego, said, "I want to see the friar that preached that sermon." And the prior said, "Well, we all preached that sermon. We all support that sermon. We all agreed to it."
Haiti today is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. It has seen countless political upheavals, violence, terrible flooding, disease, and the devastating earthquake that struck in 2010. The Dominicans have maintained their presence there, assisting the local population through it all. What have they accomplished?
Well, given the situation that Haiti's in, it's hard to talk about accomplishments, I would think. I think the Dominican, both sisters and brothers, have maintained a companionship or have accompanied people throughout these kind of circumstances and have tried to respond to human needs. There are four or five different congregations of Dominican sisters in Haiti, and there are, of course, many other religious congregations in Haiti, and a vicariate of the province of Toulouse, France, is also in Haiti. And so the friars are there and have been there and were there through the recent earthquake. Unlike some other congregations who lost members, members were killed during the earthquake, the Dominicans did not have any deaths. They had some injuries, but they managed to survive through the earthquake and have continued to try to respond as they can with either pastoral ministry or educational ministry. Some of the sisters are involved with, or some kind of social service ministries. But they've tried to, I think, maintain a presence and an accompaniment to stand in solidarity with the people. It doesn't seem like the overall situation for people in Haiti has improved very much. And in fact, I think some of the emergency services that came in after the earthquake provided the people, we would maybe, in some of us from developed countries, would think these were very minimal kind of services, to be given a tent, to be given three meals a day, to be able to have a sanitary toilet service near where you live. We might think of those as, you know, minimal human requirements. And for some of the Haitians after the earthquake, it was a considerable improvement in their standard of living to be able to live in a tent and have three meals a day and be able to go to the toilet someplace safe and clean. Anyway, a lot of that has deteriorated, as we know, even in these last months since the earthquake, but the Dominicans continue to be there.
You work in justice, human rights with the Dominicans. What are some of the obstacles or the challenges that the Dominican family encounters today as it tries to live out this legacy, this message of the Hispaniola homily, particularly in working with justice issues today?
People make a connection between the message of the homily 500 years ago and current, as just as you're saying, the current issues that people are dealing with. The Dominicans from the United States related to the homily were the issues of racism, which continues, obviously, to be a serious problem in the United States, the issues of migration and immigration, which are very controversial right now in the United States, but welcoming the stranger, and basically the church's teaching on that issue is very much in favor of the stranger arriving and the stranger being treated with dignity and respect. And the effect of the arms race or the sale of weapons, the huge amount of money that countries are investing in weapons sales and weapons purchasing, and the effect that has on worldwide poverty. So the abuse and misuse of resources for weapons that could be used to relieve human poverty around the world. And I'm sure the issues of immigration, poverty, and racism are relevant in most countries in the world.
But surely not in every country in the world today it is possible to repeat some of the things. They're really tough words in that homily. I mean, priests, our friars, brothers, sisters, are they able to speak out openly about these injustices?
Well, I think it depends very much on the local situation. If we're talking about a local parish that might have preaching like this, I'm not sure we'd find that kind of courageous preaching in a lot of places, but I think it happens in some. I also think there's a kind of preaching that happens at another level. For example, the recent document from the Pontifical Council on Justice and Peace calling for a reform of the economic situation is a kind of preaching against economic injustice that's happening in the world. I think bishops' conferences and even papal encyclicals try to call us to an awareness about the effect of unjust systems, the violations of human rights that continue. So I think this message continues to be delivered. It may not be as dramatic and as forceful, perhaps, as we imagine this sermon was on a very small location with a smaller population. It takes a tremendous amount of courage, I think, and especially the fact that it was communal, I think, helped the Dominicans survive through it. If it had just been an individual friar's idea, he'd probably been sent home, you know.
We've seen 500 years pass by since that homily. Where are the Dominicans going today?
Well, there are many Dominicans in the world. We have a kind of a joke among us that says, when you've met one Dominican, you've met one Dominican. So you can't, you know, we can't presume that everyone is exactly on the same page all the time. But there are 6,000 friars and about 25,000 apostolic sisters and about 3,000 nuns and more than 100,000 lay Dominicans in about 110 or 12 countries around the world. So I think when we are our best selves, we are trying to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus and to live the gospel I think that means, and from my perspective, that we try to bring this commitment to justice to whatever arena of life we find ourselves. Very important to me is the encyclical whose anniversary we also observed this year. Not the encyclical, I'm sorry, the synod document, Justice in the World. It came from the Synod of Bishops in 1971. And it's in that synod document in paragraph 6 that we find the statement that action for justice and participation in the transformation of the world are a constitutive dimension of preaching the gospel, which basically says to me that the bishops of the world agreed that if we are not involved in action for justice and work to make the world better, then we're really not preaching the gospel, not the gospel of Jesus. That's my hope, that that's what the Dominicans are trying to move forward today.